It was one of the closest presidential elections in U.S. history. Televised presidential debates, dimpled chads, confusion about the Electoral College, and the involvement of the U.S. Supreme Court. The issues were important: taxation, abortion, Social Security, and of course, who would hold the most powerful office in the world. Many of both parties claimed that their agendas were based in Christian values. One question no one asked: could Jesus Christ run on our platform? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The year 2000 U.S. presidential election will be debated and argued about for decades. The far-reaching consequences on the U.S. economy, internal national politics, and international relations is yet to be fully realized. Now, this isn't the first time the presidential race has ended in a controversial bare-knuckle deadlock. In 1876, Democrat Samuel J. Tilden won the popular vote by 250,000 over Republican Rutherford Hayes. There were voting disputes in a number of states, so an electoral commission was convened comprised of 5 Supreme Court judges, 5 senators, and 5 members of the House of Representatives. When the dust settled, Hayes was declared president. Later, it was discovered that in the political wheeling and dealing, Hayes' supporters had agreed on a loose enforcement of the 14th Amendment, giving civil rights to blacks in exchange for the support of southern states. Well, today, the President of the United States has much more power and global influence than in 1876. At the Good News Radio News Desk, we've been watching the impact the latest U.S. political confusion is having around the world. Galen Morrison, reporting from the U.S. News Desk. Galen, what are some of the issues the early Bush administration has been facing overseas?
Thank you, Gary. There is a great deal of interest in Europe over the United States election. For instance, Britain's foreign secretary arrived in America to meet the president's new team. It's a 3-day visit. It was the first opportunity for any member of the British government to meet the new president's team. During his visit to Washington, British Foreign Secretary Robin Cook had talks with U.S. counterpart Colin Powell and Vice President Dick Cheney. There is European pessimism over our new administration and the election that brought it about. As President George W. Bush gets down to work, commentators are predicting an end to the so-called special relationship established between British Prime Minister Tony Blair and former U.S. President Bill Clinton. Simon Reich, the director of research at London's Royal Institute for Internal Affairs, says the new president will bring a whole new approach. He says, one of the reasons why the Clinton administration was pressing so hard on Northern Ireland, even in the closing days of the administration, was a general recognition that issues like that, or issues like human rights, more generally will not be pursued by the new administration. As the new presidency begins, the hope in Britain is that Bush and Blair and the rest of Europe are politically compatible centrists, able to establish a personal rapport. This is Galen Morrison. Back to you, Gary.
Thanks, Galen. Christians from hundreds of different denominations vote across party lines in this country. There is the so-called conservative religious right. There is also a strong movement among liberals that is based on religious views that are quite different than the conservatives. Yet both sides claim that their agendas are based upon the teachings of the Bible. This leads us to a difficult, if intriguing, question. If Jesus Christ ran for President of the United States, would he be elected? In the next segment, by the way, we're going to talk with an author who tackled this subject in a recent article of the Good News Magazine. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Christians hail him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The ancient biblical prophets declare that the Messiah will someday rule on this earth as sovereign over all nations and peoples. Isaiah puts it this way, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, Come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more." In front of the United Nations complex in New York is a statue of a man with a hammer, pounding a sword into a farm implement. The UN has been around for over half a century, and the scourge of war is still rampant. Jesus Christ says he's coming to put an end to war, an end to civil strife, and to institute one system of law for everyone that guarantees justice and fairness. Sounds like a great platform. Yet, according to the Bible, when Jesus Christ returns, he will be met by resistance. And this resistance won't be just a few evil people, but the majority of humanity. The Apostle John was inspired to prophesy that future event in the book of Revelation. Notice what he writes in Revelation chapter 19. John says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." This, of course, is Jesus Christ. "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, follow him on his white horse. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is a little different image than the popular Jesus meek and mild. The return of the Messiah to the earth as king is just as central to biblical prophecy as his first coming as Savior of all mankind. So, the King of Kings, could he be elected President of the United States? We'll be back to talk with Howard Davis right after these messages.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us today on a telephone hookup from Portland, Oregon, Howard Davis, author of an article, "Where Have All the Leaders Gone?" In this article, he asked the question, could Jesus Christ be elected to the White House? Howard, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure, Gary, especially because of Americans' fascination with the issues associated with true leadership. And the question I posed regarding Jesus Christ as president of the article, the responses were very interesting.
That is an interesting question. Now, what is your conclusion? If Jesus were here on the earth today, could he be elected president of the United States?
Well, the short and possibly surprising answers to your listeners is no. Americans would not tolerate Jesus of Nazareth in the White House. Now, although he would be, I would think, a media sensation because he did these fabulous miracles and was obviously a master of the soundbite, he would get quite a lot of attention. He said things like to the self-righteous religious and government leaders, "The blind lead the blind and they both fall into the ditch." Now that would be a phrase that would be picked up over and over again. He said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone," speaking of some leaders who wanted to condemn a woman who was a sinner. And it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that would offend some, but it would be certainly a great soundbite. He also said, whoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Now, most Americans would not tolerate this kind of talk from a presidential candidate. I'd say that this is probably a little stunning when you consider that somewhere between 60 and 70% of Americans say they are Christians. In other words, they say they are followers of Jesus Christ, but if it really came down to his platform, they would never vote for him, basically because the Christianity he practiced is not the typical brand of religion they practice. I guess we could say Jesus is not America's kind of Christian.
Well, if he was here and he was going to have a political career, what would be the major obstacles in Jesus' path to a political career?
Well, I would say it would be his basic approach, because Jesus did have miraculous powers from God to help people who were suffering. He would be popular with common people. But Jesus would never manipulate the public perception to get support. For instance, as you know, many were attracted to see him perform these miracles. But instead of exploiting this tendency for hero worship and public attraction to political or religious theater, Jesus publicly analyzed their motivation and said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. Now, Jesus said if the broad public of his country also did not fundamentally change, Jerusalem, the capital city, would be destroyed within a generation, burned, depopulated. Now, that's pretty outspoken. And today, you know, there's an unspoken rule, if you really analyze it, among Democrats and Republicans in American politics today. And that is, thou shalt not criticize the public. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But Jesus violated this unholy rule all the time. Regarding the public, Jesus would criticize Americans broadly for our selfishness, our hard-heartedness, our prejudices, our materialism, our lack of parental concern for children when it comes right down to rearing them for a future that would be full of hope instead of, like parents are, very materialistic. He would condemn much of Christianity and its ministry as manipulative and not preaching strongly against evil. And I'd say also, important to the politics of the day, Jesus would be too controversial for Democratic and Republican Party bosses. He would be offensive to party leadership for both his style and the substance of his positions. He, for instance, would not allow his followers to use television or radio ads to attack others for self-promotion.
Okay, now, but we live in a Christian country. If Jesus was running for president, don't you think most Christians would recognize that agenda and then go vote for him?
Well, this is perhaps the most surprising thing of all. Reading what the Bible actually says about what he said was his agenda, what religion he actually practiced and taught, is a form of Christianity most American Christians wouldn't recognize.
Okay, if we come back to reality here, the Bible does say that Jesus will return, not to be president, but the king over the earth, and he's going to stop all wars, heal diseases, put an end to crime, control pollution, and bring universal prosperity. So if this is what he's going to do, and if he was on earth today just running as president, why would people be opposed to all that?
Well, because those are all great causes. But Jesus pointed out that all these great causes really boil down to your personal behavior. And this is not something Americans really want to hear, that they personally need to change. Like I said, there's this unspoken rule in American politics that you must not criticize the public. But Jesus really would say that people do need to change. And the biggest reason they don't understand Jesus' agenda is they don't believe that they must do what he said, including read the Bible itself. All of these social problems that you talked about, Gary, really deal with the consequences of human nature. Americans have that in spades, and they don't really want to personally change.
Could Jesus be elected president of the United States? We'll be back with more discussion after these messages.
Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
We're back with Howard Davis, where we're discussing the question, could Jesus Christ be elected president of the United States? You know, maybe there's an even more important question we should be asking. If he were here on the earth today, would Jesus run for president?
Well, Gary, I think that is a profound question. No, he would not. Though he is a perfect leader, the perfect leader, no one who has ever lived or ruled had his qualifications as the model of leadership. He had perfect integrity, compassion, a love for all. He was very wise and could see underneath the motives of politicians and the common people. He had miraculous powers of healing, willingness to die for the sins of mankind. That means every race, every religion, and economic status. He was a leader who said he was the ultimate model for every human to copy in his faith and practices in their way of life, even to the point of loving those who hated and were jealous and had an evil intent. Actually, it was not, though, Jesus' agenda to become the ruler within the political framework of this existing world system, which really has not changed in 2,000 years. He said before the governor Pontius Pilate, just before the crucifixion, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight. But now my kingdom is not from here." Jesus Christ does exist, and he has a higher office, and he serves in heaven as the high priest for all the truly converted Christians. He does promise, as you've said earlier in the program, to return as the earth ruler under God the Father, but he will take all the reins of authority when it literally means God must intervene to save us from the corruption and the collapse of human leadership. America's leadership will fail. And the message of Jesus had was that humans cannot rightly rule ourselves. God has the qualifications. And we do need a perfect ruler who has demonstrated the ultimate love and concern for others, who's paid the price. And in Jesus, we really do have that leader. Unfortunately, Americans are not really listening to his message, including most who profess to be Christian. And I would just challenge each listener to really examine themselves if they would really vote for the real Jesus Christ by repenting, as Jesus said, and doing what he said to enter the kingdom of God.
It's been a challenging discussion, Howard. We'd like to thank you for being with us on the program today.
It's been my pleasure, Gary.
In the pages of your Bible, God reveals himself as the God of prophecy because he is the God of history. Of course, we have to ask ourselves, if the God of the Bible, who claims to be merciful and kind, is the ruler of history, then why is humanity's story one of agony and injustice and violence? Once again, we turn to the writings of the Apostle Paul, this time in his letter to the Corinthians, Get your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 3 and 4. Here Paul writes, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Who is the God of this age? There is someone other than the Creator God who influences mankind. This being has been relegated to the realm of myth, but he does exist, and he is the God of this age." We're talking about none other than the fallen angel the Bible calls Satan. God has allowed humanity, under Satan's tutelage, to create our own governments. These governments are based on wrong premises. When Christ returns to establish God's kingdom on the earth, he will create one world government and one world religion. Now, this doesn't mean that Christians should be intolerant of others in our lives now. Christians should be representatives of God's kingdom to everyone we meet, living as an example of the way of life Jesus will teach all people at his return. The Hebrew prophet Isaiah was inspired to pen many prophecies concerning both the first and second coming of the Messiah. One of the most well-known passages is in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Here he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." If Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to save humanity from ourselves, why does he meet such resistance when he does come back? The truth we must face is bitter. Humanity killed the Prince of Peace at his first coming, and they will fight against him at his second coming. Satan, the god of this age, has subtly convinced mankind that selfishness is better than love towards others, unbridled freedom is better than responsibility, and doing what feels good is better than the law of God. Even in some pulpits of Christianity, the law of God is viewed as archaic, even bad. When Jesus sets up his government, will he be conservative or liberal? Read the pages of your Bible, and you'll discover that he is concerned with taking care of the poor and the elderly, with justice and fairness, with the rights of both the employee and the employer. Christ is going to reform education, the economic system, clean up pollution, stop abortion, and eradicate religious pluralism. He's going to do away with the military, and he's tough on crime. He will even institute religious holy days and expect all peoples to observe them. Listen to this prophecy about Christ's rule from Zechariah 14. "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth that do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain." Would you like to be part of these future events? You must begin now by answering God's call and rejecting the God of this age. You must be willing not only to accept Jesus as your Savior, but as your King. You must be willing to submit to his rule now in your life. Are you willing to put God's will first in everything in your life? This process takes enormous self-examination. Are you willing to give total allegiance to a new president, a new king, a new Lord, one who could not be elected president of the United States, because his agenda would be rejected by almost everyone? Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice is up to you. Now remember, we welcome your comments and suggestions here at Good News Radio. Just email us at gnradio@ucg.org. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Where is the world headed? Today's headlines are filled with troubling news. War, famine, natural disasters, new and baffling diseases, environmental catastrophes, and governmental scandals. The litany of suffering, tragedies, and bad news is relentless. Where is the world headed? Does Bible prophecy give us any answers? In You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you'll discover what the Bible says about where the world is headed. Learn the major themes of Bible prophecy and God's overall plan for humanity. Find out why the world is in the condition it's in and what it means for you. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.